Larry Bailey, Awesome Technologies, Inc. It is Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and that means you guys are grabbing a nice drink. You're sitting back. We're going to talk some Encompass stuff today. Our topic for today is Encompass Web for processing and underwriting. Amy Blum continues to stalk me no matter where I go. So she's call me out, Amy, because I love Amy so much. So today's topic is important to me. important to me, mostly because I think back to 2019, if you look in the admin portal right now, over at adminportal.com, whatever their domain is, you'll see a post from me from 2019. And the post reads asynchronous JavaScript. I am very jealous of your basement, Amy. Of course I am. It's a beautiful basement. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because back in 2019, with Ken Kolda, who was really who I credit as being the mastermind of constructing how Encompass Web is turning out to be. He's since retired from Ellie Mae. Hopefully he got a great landing pad from that. But he and I had a really good conversation. This is back when I created, you know, it's back when we were doing actually, we did a breakfast that year at Encompass Experience for the Basecamp group. And he came in and we actually talked about it as a group. And, you know, lo and behold, 5 years later, 6 years later, whatever it's been, we're now starting to see the fruit of all that work. And today's conversation is all about Encompass Web. For those that don't know, there is a book. Amy's got it in the comments. Amy, do you mind putting the link in the comment? Do you know, for everybody to take, that way it'll be in the show notes kind of thing. It's $14 and I don't read very many things at all, but that book, I agree with Amy, that book was very easy to kind of look through. I only looked at a few chapters online, because it's just, you know, I got enough going on. I don't want to take on asynchronous JavaScript also, but the idea is we're going to be moving over there in the next 5 years, right? You can't argue with that. Sometime in the next 5 years, we're going to be having to learn syntax for yet another language. And what we're going to do about it. And so recently, this past week, I launched a new course in the community called Mastering Encompass Web Essentials. Thanks, Amy, for putting that link in there for the Async JavaScript book. And the reason why it's important for me to really express this education to everybody is because, A, nobody has time to read. Like, I get that. I really do. But you got to learn it. And a lot of times the help information that ICE puts out, which is really good, a lot of times the context just isn't there. So the concept will be there, but then it's like, well, how do I apply the concept? And how does this concept link into everything else? And I go through all that. And it's important for me to share that mostly because when I go in to help clients with workflow or technology solutions, I don't want to have to keep reinventing the wheel over and over again. Like, that's just, it's just common sense, number one. Number two, I want you guys to learn because you're going to figure out things that I'm not going to figure out. And that's part of the whole community, right? So if we're all working on something asynchronously, to use that, it means that we can all figure things out because although we're all in the lending industry, we all have different businesses, different workflows slightly. And so, there. So first big question for the group is, who has built an active workflow engine rule that leverages workflow tasks? I know many of you already have EPC running, which made me smile today. There's lots of talk in the community about EPC automation for services, which that made me smile. I know that some of you are starting to look at workflow automation rules for automated conditions. That makes me smile. The next thing is tasks. And that's really what I'm going to get into today is the workflow and how you can leverage Encompass Web for processing and underwriting, and getting into those details in here. So for those that are following along on replay, you know where to find the replay, hopefully over at the mortgage community. For the rest of us, So Rob answered not tasks, but workflow to order services. Who has teams that use Outlook to run their day? Like, everybody should be raising their hands, right? Outlook, I talk about this a lot. I talked about it last week in the most common things I find in workflow review. And it was the first thing I said, which is Outlook wasting our lives. And it's not gotten any better. Today's National Email Day, I heard or read somewhere. And I think that means you can delete all your email today under amnesty. And that's okay. I don't know if that's the case, but email is still faster than a meeting. True, Brian. But the thing I want to ask you is, if I send you an email, I'm like, hey, Brian, don't forget that we need that appraisal by Tuesday if we're going to close by Friday. What happens? Usually three things happen. First, I might flag it or mark it unread in my inbox. I might create a task or I might handwrite it down. The other thing that sometimes happens is nobody remembers, right? And so I read it and I think I'm going to remember it, but we're human. We're not going to remember that. And so for those that are flagging or for those that are creating handwritten tasks, things like that, then it creates a sense of follow-up. So you either still own the problem that you've created or that you have to work with, or you've tried to give it to somebody else and you're hoping that they're going to do it. And it ends up in this workflow cycle that's not optimal and it's not efficient. And so if you haven't already checked this out, I'm going to bring this up on screen and kind of talk through it to make sure that I share these concepts that I found to be helpful. The first is using tasks in desktop, workflow tasks in desktop. The other is using workflow tasks for specific groups on the web. And then the last part here that I want to talk to everybody about is enhanced conditions. And so for those that are here, if you've heard me talk about enhanced conditions before, hopefully you understand I'm a staunch advocate for getting there. And I know that it's not necessarily an easy sell to a lot of organizations, but it's a really important one. And so that's what I want to talk about today. So for those that are in the attendee list, I don't know if, so Kayla's here. Kayla, you're still using enhanced conditions. I know you've got an opinion on that. Feel free to share it with the rest of the community. It looks like Beth is not here, and Beth is my other partner in implementations from last year and this year, who's also using enhanced conditions. And the ability to automate, like truly automate those conditions, is special. So, Linda, you're doing enhanced conditions at your previous job, like earlier this year, kind of a thing. Is that what you mean? Love to understand that better. Great. For the group, do you mind, while bringing this up on screen, do you mind expressing goods, the bads of enhanced conditions? Love them. So what's stopping you from putting them into business now, paying to enter them all? You mean to create them, right? So that's kind of the thing where to migrate over, it's hard for some to get over into that spot. I'm going to share my screen here in a moment, gang. I'm just logging in. So let's go ahead and share this screen. And I want to make sure everybody kind of gets this notion of what we're talking about. So the good news is, before we get to conditions, I want to talk about a couple of things, first of all. So in 24.1, when it comes to processing and underwriting, if your workflow is to notify people of things, I will make sure you're aware that you can use notification templates now with web settings. And you can come over here and choose internal roles, multiple, if you want. And you can also add additional regular as well as CC or even VCC directly in the UI. So if you haven't seen this yet, welcome. It does have a limit here of 256 characters for the description. This is the name of the template. But this is the full HTML. If you want to grab, if you want to write a full HTML email, rock on. Great stuff. How you send these is through process automation. And this is where it gets interesting, because I'm going to go ahead and save this as a test for a group. Let's see here, test. And we need email address. Let's go ahead and get rid of this. And we'll do Larry at workflowpartners.org. Sure, why not? What am I missing here? Red dots. Do email content. Oh, it doesn't like that. Show text. There we go. All right, cool. So we've got our template created. Now, if we get down into workflow rules, when we come over, if you haven't seen these already, workflow engine, AKA workflow rules, are extraordinarily dynamic, is what I'll say. So if we create this rule for in here, you can use tagging. The one thing I'll remind you is that you can't search through these. So even the settings analyzer tool from AI, which is the most advanced settings analysis tool out there, we can't get to web settings yet because ICE hasn't made getting to web settings accessible to outside resources. So tags are your friend if you're doing a search for them. But ultimately, what we want to do is figure out if something happens. One of the things that might be a task-based is a service is fulfilled, or a file is attached. And when that happens, like let's say, I don't know, the appraisal comes back, right? And you can create these conditions. I don't want to make this all about workflow rules, but the result here is what's important, which is going out and sending notifications. So over in this side is where you'll pick the notification template that goes out. And again, you could have up to five actions from whatever the event is. Reason why I'm bringing this up is because if your team internally is basing themselves on all these notifications that are going out, this is one of the ways that you can start to migrate your desktop settings into web, especially if you have a lot of notifications going out for a lot of different things, but none of which are under these kinds of triggering events. This is an opportunity for you to think about, how can I help my processing and underwriting team be aware of something that they weren't otherwise aware of? You might have done tricks that I've done, which is work off pipeline views or dashboards to find things. You might have used custom fields to figure out some receive dates, all kinds of stuff. But the ability within workflow rules to use these types of triggering events is unique. And so this is the first step into really helping processing and underwriting. And one of the things that you can do in here, as you saw as a result, hopefully, if I didn't go too fast, is you can order a service. So when we talk about helping processing, one of the things that you should be looking at workflow is, what are the manual services that we're ordering? If you've heard me for the last several months, I've been talking about moving to EPC. You know, you got to move all your vendors to EPC. More and more vendors are now EPC ready, which means you can set them up in the services section of your web settings. So now when the ITP comes in, you can help your processing team by automatically ordering flood or fraud or appraisal and get that in. If other things happen, such as if you're doing a purchase and you've ordered the appraisal, but you didn't have the contract. Well, now if you've received the contract file in the purchase and sale agreement or the purchase agreement document, whatever you're using for the e-folder, you can update the service order based upon that document and actually pull it out of your e-folder using this. These are things that, historically speaking, we've all been subjected to having to use third-party tech. It's all in here now. And so from helping processing, creating the service, ordering the services or updating the services are part of that. Another way to look at this also, depending on how you run your processing teams, is task management or conditions management. Now, it's not extraordinarily common for processors to work off conditions. Why? Because nobody wants processors to be able to clear conditions, right? So it's important to remember that when we go through, when we go through our settings, one of the reasons why I'm a huge proponent to enhance conditions, and Linda, I don't know if you guys did this or not, but when we get into our enhanced conditions, you know, we have these condition types. So this is what's out of the box. You don't have to keep any of this, but you can have, you know, submit the underwriting conditions. And when you go into here, if you create that category, that condition type, you can make sure that if a condition is for that condition type, only the processor can mark it as received, reviewed, or, you know, cleared or waived, whatever status that you want, whatever tracking status that you want. That's brand new. So Linda did that. Linda, successful, good workflow. Processors loved it because they could see exactly what they were missing, right? And there was no questions about it. Linda, what was the company you used to work at, if you don't mind sharing? If you don't want to share, then don't. But I'm just curious because they sound like they were absolutely ahead of the ball, which is great. And Mortgage Financial, I'm not familiar with them. If anybody else is, great. So sort of, okay. I don't know what that means. Anyway, this is what's going to help your processing team in one regard if you're condition-based. Now, if you're task-based, which again, some companies like the idea of working off a task list because that's what they're used to, you can go through in web settings and you can build out your tasks under workflow management and going in here in your task templates. It's important to understand the concepts of workspaces because the workspace is where the task lives. It's also important to recognize that the workspace UI is different on the web versus on desktop. But the good news is the task is the task is the task, which means if I go in and create into desktop and I go into tools, we'll go into this guy, and I go into tools and I want to create a task or have tasks already there for me, I can go to workflow tasks. And if I have tasks to add, I can come in here and I can grab them, whatever they are. And I can go and add them and I can manage them accordingly. And so the UI is not horrible, right? It lets me assign or reassign, update the status, give me a description, these kinds of things. I can also create subtasks. So if we need to get this stuff done before this thing is done, great. And then again, this kind of lines up. What's super interesting about this conversation is when I show this to loan officer assistants, or I show this to processors who are having to delegate the collection of documents from others, i.e. loan officers, they love this because it gives everybody constructive knowledge of what's missing and when it's due and who it's assigned to in here. From an operations standpoint, if I were to come over and I had my sales team working off of this, I could go to tasks and I can see exactly what tasks are due or overdue and which ones were assigned to me. So if I were to come in, if I were to come back into desktop and I were to go to this, thank you, and I were to assign this to Larry. So if I had a notification template set up, I would have immediately got a notification. And now I've got this other task down here. No emails, nothing to lose. I can go right in. And if I went on my phone or my tablet, whatever I'm doing mobily, I can see this super easy versus having to worry about an email. And this could run my day. There's companies that all they do is build workflows to give you task management. And that's a big deal for processing. So for me, the big thing that I want to really, for everybody on this call, anybody watching this, you know, my instructions to you are go in and look in your, go into on the web, looking to see what you're doing for notification templates to help your processing team be aware of things in ways that you couldn't otherwise do, especially if you're using third-party tech. Start to unwind that so that you can rely upon native things is my position. And then as you go through there, decide how you want your processing teams to really function. condition management is totally fine, but if they're having to have somebody else bird dog or go get those documents, a good way to manage that is by task. So anybody have any questions, comments on that? That kind of a thing? If you do, throw it in chat. If you want to come up on stage and talk about it live, let me know in the chat and I'll bring you up on stage. You don't have to come on video. It can just be audio if you want. So that's processing. Now from the other side is underwriting. Now underwriting, what I rely, Linda, when you say you're not on the web, thanks for saying that, because I want to make sure this is crystal clear. You don't have to be using Encompass Web to leverage everything we're talking about today. And I hope I'm conveying that clearly. These are just settings that you'll only find on the web. Everything that we're talking about here today, everything I showed you is available to be used for desktop. Everything. The exception is if you wanted to have the task pipeline, yes, you've got to go to the web to see the task pipeline. But you don't have to do that at all. You can just live in desktop all day, but you won't find workflow rules in desktop. They're only on web settings. You won't find notification templates and other things that are in here, task templates, et cetera. All these settings are in web. That's all I was trying to communicate. So, that's my goal, is to help you understand, because there's confusion. And so I'm trying my best to dispel that confusion by saying, all you're doing here is just web. You're just doing admin stuff. Just doing admin stuff. Everything else that the company's using is on desktop. So, Christina, you're welcome. Hopefully this helps clear up some confusion and helps you put things in context. Robert says, I wish a trigger event on the workflow rule would be triggered with what field equals something and not any time is changed. So that's in the conditional statement, Rob. So think about this. You want to go into, so what Rob's saying is in workflow rules, our trigger event is field modified, and let's just say it's 2, right? Any change, right? This is what Rob's talking about. So the conditions of, we want to say if 2 equals, right? So when 2, if 2, right, is greater than, 100, I guess I would use a 0, 0. So it's true that the event happens, Rob, but I want you to think about the condition for what gets to the result. And that's the reason why it's been split that way, is because we didn't want to confuse the conditionality of the event with the event. The event happens. Wait, should I go any further? And then the result. Yes, exactly. So Rob says, oh, start the conditional statement with the event. Makes sense. Absolutely. Or it could not be even connected at all. It could be, hey, field 2 changed, but I only want the result to happen if the loan officer equals Larry. So what about the result of advanced conditions? Which advanced conditions do you mean? Do you mean these conditions? What advanced conditions? Where do you see advanced in the result? These are just actions. So first step is, did the thing happen? Second step is, should I continue as Encompass? I'm Encompass now. I'm workflow engine actually. Should I continue? Right? Should I continue working based upon all of these conditionals? Did I get it true? And then the third thing is the result. What should I do based upon that? It's really important to understand that workflow engine is middleware. ICE calls this out in its documentation. Workflow engine sits between the user and the Encompass file, and it governs what happens when. And that's your job as an admin. Or as a user, it's your job to do the right thing at the right time. So hopefully, Rob, that makes sense. Keep the comments coming. So for an underwriter, everything I want you to think about as an underwriter, I want you to think about automated conditions. So Encompass Web for underwriting is automated enhanced conditions. The reason why I want you to think that way is because when we look at these enhanced conditions, the number one problem that I see in workflow review is underwriters don't want their don't want their conditions in here automatically for them. And to which I say, nonsense, yes, you do. And they say, no, I don't. I want to write down on that piece of paper or type it up on a note somewhere the only conditions that I need, to which I say, I want you to prove to me that you cleared that condition. It's a losing conversation for them. And for you as an admin, the reason why you want this is why? Is because if they clear a condition, I want you to think back to notification. You want to be able to notify everyone else about what's happening. Or if there is something that the underwriter needs that is outside of the condition to leverage tasks. So it's not as impactful globally as per se as you would for a processor for the web, because the processor is kind of in the mix. But for an underwriter, if you haven't been here recently, go back to, now this is where I will take you to the web for now. Linda, where you said you're not on the web, totally fine. But in 24.1, ICE did roll out e-folder for the web. And so it's not there, Larry, e-folder, thank you. So it'll look familiar, but different. And so as an underwriter, I don't know what this is going to do. I'm not there yet. But the reason why I wanted to bring this up for today's call was because the concept of how we're working with things, notice that what they've done here is they've combined the file manager with the document manager with conditions. It's a pretty wild setup. So I'm not quite sure of it yet because it literally just came out. And so I'm not quite sure of the best process workflow. But what I want to really express here is that when we look at the e-folder the way it sits today, definitely want to get everybody into condition-centric thought. There's a lot of companies that are document-centric, so you want to get to condition-centric. And having said that, you can leverage automated enhanced conditions so that when data changes in the file, like we saw back in here, if we go back to admin, one of the results in the workflow rules that we saw is to apply enhanced conditions. And you can do that by running your enhanced condition business rule from desktop. Your automated enhanced condition business from desktop, or you can add in individual conditions down here. Yeah, I only have one, so not too sexy. But the idea is we can come in here and help underwriters know exactly what's going on so that if data changes, right? So if the data changes and it goes from property types, somebody yell at me, what's the field ID for property type? Whatever the property type field is that's on the transmittal summary, because there's two of them, right? So when one of them changes, thanks Rob, save the day here. Tell me the field ID. So when that field ID changes, wait, it's on there. I'm 1401, thank you. So when the field changes, thank you, any change, and then you come into condition and you say 1401 now equals PUD, the result is I want the resulting action to be enhanced condition for your PUD conditions. It sounds complicated. I'm telling you, it's not. And so from a loan quality perspective, from a an underwriting perspective, from a processing perspective, there's a lot on Encompass Web that you can go through and look at your workflow to find all the manual steps or all the things your teams that are doing outside of Encompass and start leveraging Encompass Web to bring that functionality into the loan file, even while you're using desktop. Questions? Brian says, is there a setting I'm missing? Brian, Brian says, I have a test underwriter, but when I go to web, I don't see e-folder option. I'm not sure. So Brian, when you say when you go to pipeline, you're going through and you click here and you're saying your team doesn't see e-folder over here? Make sure this gets into something else. Sorry for making this about here, but make sure you get over into if I could do things properly, company user setup, go to left low nav and make sure, I mean, your default should be on here, but make sure you've got that set to default and make sure you don't have some other lone left nav that has conditions off. That's the only thing I can think of, Brian, on your side. So just go check lone left nav templates to make sure you don't have something acting weird. Linda says, so you would enter those on enhanced conditions, business rules, or is this just a workflow on the web? No, those are, so in desktop, what you do is it's a combined experience. So in desktop, what you're going to do is you're going to go to business rules and you're going to go to automated enhanced conditions. So if you can build your automated enhanced conditions set here to the way you want it for like PUDs or, I don't know, purchase, refi, condo, Florida, who the hell knows, any of that stuff, you can build your automated enhanced condition rule here and then you use a workflow engine to fire it. Does that make more sense, Linda, the way I'm explaining it that? Hopefully. Cool. And gang, we're going to be talking about all this. I forget what next week's topic is. Honestly, I can look it up. But starting with May and June, we're going to be doing, I'm going to be doing how to conduct your own health check. And I'm going to be going through each one of these settings generally and explaining some different things of what you should go look for within your own settings. That kind of a thing. Rob, you can definitely enable SSO for web logon. Just do me a favor when you do that. Please make sure you go into, I don't know why I click personas. Please make sure you go into organization/users and go in and edit your organization and make sure you check this up here. I came across somebody recently who enabled SSO for their operation but did not have this radio button. So that meant that they could log, they had to use SSO for the web, but they could still log in with standard passwords with the Encompass desktop. So just make sure you hit that radio button once you enable it. Cool. Yeah. Everybody, thanks for showing up. I know it's a busy month. Hopefully everybody's having a great month or as best as you can. If there's anything we can ever do, please call it out in the community and please help grow in the community. We're getting closer to hitting 1,000 members. I'm sure we'll do something special for that day, but if you have any questions at all, let me know. Thanks very much for coming to these every Tuesday. It's been 30 minutes. Means you gotta get back to work. All right, gang. You guys be well. Have a great day. See you for now. Bye-bye.